Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, this is a very interesting one. I know I say all my guests are interesting. I think you will agree today in the studio with me, Steve Delaroche. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I've been thinking about you, and I said, you know, I want Steve to come back on and update us on what he's up to. As you recall, ladies and gentlemen, Steve ran in the clerk of court primary.
Right, the Republican primary.
For the Republican primary, and was bested, edged out by Diane Matuszak.
That's correct.
Is that a nice way to put that?
That is very nice. Very nice. We lost by 20%, but that is a very nice way of saying it. Yes.
Well, and so I caught up with Steve, and I bumped into him at church. And right. I said, Steve, I'd like to have you come back on the program, and let's talk about what you're up to, because I know that you are obviously focusing your time and energy on your law practice.
Yes.
And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And also, because of... You know, I'm a spectator and I'm a novice when it comes to politics. I very quickly recognize that, but I've watched the elections and I've had guests come on, and everybody's tuning in. Of course, we're coming right up on this. And first of all, let's do this. Let's talk about what you're doing. Then we'll get to the election and what you make of it. So what for folks that don't know what you do in your practice, tell us a little bit about what you do when you're not obviously involved with the political part.
Sure, sure. I have a solo practice. A lot of your listeners will know that I used to be the chief administrative judge of Volusia County, so I'm very active in Volusia County, both DeLand and Daytona. Our practice is primarily family law at the moment. That seems to be where the most demand is. We do divorce, child custody modifications. We do business law. That area is picking up slowly. And I also do a smattering of criminal law. I sat a criminal bench for quite a while, and I'm very familiar with DUI and other criminal statutes. But that area has yet to see any recovery because we are competing against the public defender who is free. So it's very difficult to beat
free. It's hard to compete with free.
Yes, yes.
But the big things that it sounds like you're focusing on, of course, are the divorce and the marital, the family law.
Absolutely.
The child custody issues.
All the time, all the time. And sort of a specialty that I have developed are moving cases. Florida does not allow the custodial parent to move more than 50 miles away from the other parent without passing a fairly strenuous test. So I do a lot of that from both sides, because it takes an economic analysis of the area you're going to move into and how that's in the best interest of the child.
So either stopping it or helping them to make it happen.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I don't envy the work you do. That is, I'm sure, very demanding. It requires a high skill set. And can be stressful.
Well, it's emotionally charged, because for most people, the most important thing in their lives are their children.
Absolutely.
Clearly. And when you are interfering with the normal pattern, you know, most people are able to see their children every day. They take them to school. And then suddenly that's not going to be there. That is very upsetting to the least. Add to that the emotion between the two parents who are splitting up, and then the finances involved with equitable distribution. And you really have a case that encompasses every aspect of a person's life, and it's all going to change. So frequently,
you've got the makings for a bonfire.
Yes, yes.
That's a lot of gasoline I'm here going on the fire.
Yes, frequently we do not see people at their best.
Yeah, I imagine. How do you deal with that? I know your job obviously is to practice law and advise them legally. You have to kind of coach them and calm them down, I imagine.
Sure, there's an awful lot of counseling. You know, when people come to me, they're generally afraid. And they're afraid of the unknown. So you give them as much information as they possibly can handle at that time to show them what the possibilities are going to happen. They're not going to jail. It's a divorce. They're not going to be never allowed to see their kids again. They're not going to be put out on the step and
suddenly
destitute.
So it's more of a transition that they have to understand.
Sure, sure. As in any major change or any major event, there's always a group of people out there who want to give them advice. And that advice is not necessarily in their best interest, and it's usually paced to the worst-case scenario. And a lot of divorces, honestly, have to age sometime. The people have to get accustomed to the idea that things are going to be different, and then they're in a position where we can map out how best to handle the separation of assets, the parenting plan for the children, and what to do with the home. Still, in this climate, we have a lot of houses that are underwater.
Which makes it very difficult for people to do what they used to do, which is to be able to split that, sell the home, divvy up the assets, pay off the mortgage, and then move on. They're living it at two ends of the same home.
Oh, exactly. You'll have a house that's $80,000 underwater, and one person, if they get the home, doesn't make enough to make the payments. And unless we can get the bank to cooperate, that home is not sellable.
You know, do a lot of these kind of situations involve bankruptcy then also?
Sometimes.
Okay. Do you do that, or you work with other attorneys?
I work with other attorneys. Okay. I do not practice bankruptcy law. Okay. That's a specialty I don't
very
have.
Very much so.
But we try to avoid bankruptcy whenever
right.
possible because it poisons the water for 7 years. You know, it's bad enough. Divorce is the great destroyer of economic prosperity. And it's bad enough taking the hit from divorce, but also a bankruptcy on top of that. It'll be 7 years frequently before somebody can recover.
I remember what you said on a previous show, and this goes back two shows ago. You would be surprised. I remember you said, we were talking about this and about divorce, and you said one of the simplest ways people can help to have a better financial future is not to get divorced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great emotional and financial setback. But if it has to be done, it's best to go through it with someone you're comfortable with and someone that has the knowledge to get you through it. You only get one shot at a divorce. Equitable distribution is not appealable. If you don't have an attorney that knows how to split a pension plan or a 401k, I've seen people get buried and they don't even know it for a year or two later.
All right. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with Steve, I've got a couple of contact informations. First, he's got a website, DeLaRoche-Law.com. And if you don't know how to spell the name, let me do it for you. DeLaRoche, and then the hyphen and law, DeLaRoche-Law.com. And the telephone number locally, 386-947-0909. Steve, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to get your insight on campaign and other matters. So stay right there.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. You're just joining us. Steve DeLaRoche has come back. He's actually, I think you might be my first third-time guest.
Really?
Yeah, I need to go back and check the records, but you're welcome back. Thank you. And Steve can be contacted 947-0909. He was sharing with us before the break about what his activities are. You know, you didn't stop practicing law while you were running for clerk of court.
No, I only took one day off, and that was the election day.
Okay. So this is something that you've continued to do. And of course, we'll get to the campaign. And the website is DeLaRoche-Law.com. Anything else about your practice you'd want people to really know about what you're doing before we... I do want to get your take on the campaign.
No, I think we've basically covered what I can do for people.
Well, I think people, of course, would appreciate, because you're in the thick of it. And I think as we look at these various campaigns, and of course, the one I think you probably know the most about is the one which is for clerk of court. And so from your perspective, after, you know, you exited the race.
Yes.
I'm doing air quotes for Steve. Exited the race.
You have the nicest way of saying that. I was defeated. Okay.
Well, I need to have you call my wife and tell her I really do say things nicely. But where is this race? What are your thoughts about this the campaign?
Well, Diane Matuszak has an overwhelming advantage in name recognition. She's been the clerk of court now for 19 years. Every speeding ticket, every court notice, every deed has her name on it. So she has overwhelming name recognition. Christine Sanders, who's her challenger, is running no party affiliation. The reason for that is she had registered for the Independent Party of Florida and didn't realize that that meant no party affiliation. The Independent Party is actually a party, and tried to run as a Republican, was not allowed because you have to be registered 1 year to run as a particular party's nominee, and went NPA. No non-party affiliated candidate in Volusia County history has ever won an election.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a tough place to start. You know, I know that you and I'll say this. I think you'll like the way I'll say this too, Steve. Is I think you and Diane, most people would agree that you had a spirited competition in
yes.
the primary.
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
And but since then, obviously, you've been observing the race. And before we started the program today, I asked you what you thought about it, and you were sharing with me that you've actually come out and you've actually endorsed.
Yes, I have endorsed my former opponent, Ms. Matuszak.
Okay.
As we stated earlier, I'm a practicing lawyer. I use that court system every single day. I rely on the clerk of court's office to earn my living. It is very, very important to me that it be well-run and functional. And I think that Ms. Matuszak gives Volusia County its best chance to have a well-run, functional office. I came out when I campaigned and said that some things could be done better. To Ms. Matuszak's credit, she has instituted a lot of the programs.
I remember we talked about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, instituted a lot of the programs that I said could be done or could be done better, and she's made changes. She's become very active in making sure that her people realize what the problems were and has come forward and vastly improved the office. She was there for a while, 19 years, as I said, and you can do something for 19 years and sort of stay the course. And in my opinion, that's why I ran, is she was doing that. But since she's been challenged, she's really picked up the activity of the office and brought it forward.
Perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of things that I thought were perhaps not working as well, like we have something called the Criminal Justice Information System, CJIS, which is still a DOS-based system. That is owned and run by the county, and she is strapped with that system, and it is horrendous to try to work with. She's bringing out a new system, the CCME, which should be online by the end of the month, that the clerk of court hired their own vendor, and now every record will be accessible online. That's one of the things I campaigned on, if you remember.
I remember you talked about that. I think
yes.
That's important. So you've kind of stepped back and said, okay, I'm an attorney, and I want this thing to work right, and I guess that's part of why you said I think Diane should stay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. I know another flashpoint in your campaign with her or competition with her was the subject of her retirement.
Right.
And there's been a lot. In fact, I would actually suggest that there, beyond what the two of you were going back and forth on that subject, and now in the general election against her new opponent, Ms. Sanders, that there is a real heavy-duty conversation going on about that.
Yes, yes. As I said, Ms. Matuszak has started to fix a lot of the things I found wrong. So Christine Sanders, her opponent, has really seized upon the DROP program. And I heard your show on the DROP program, and you were absolutely right about it. It's not double dipping. It's a benefit that every state employee has the opportunity to partake in, and she's doing nothing wrong by partaking in it. And Christine Sanders is campaigning on the idea that having the clerk of court will be more expensive, which isn't true, because once she completes the DROP program in February of next year, the state of Florida will no longer have to contribute to the DROP program or the Florida State Retirement Plan. So having the, if she'll forgive me with the air quotes, the old clerk there is actually substantially... I didn't mean really old.
That's not going to come out when she hears this program,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes. Never ask a woman her age or if she's pregnant. I learned those things.
Yeah.
Having the old clerk there is actually a substantial savings to the taxpayers of Volusia County, because they will not have to fund a new clerk's retirement system. So
that's a good point, because Diane Matuszak, the money that's going into her DROP account is money she's already earned.
Yes.
And in fact, when she does it hit the end of the 5-year DROP period, my understanding is that she no longer even earns interest on that money in the DROP account. So
that's
it kind of just freezes.
Right. Okay. Right. It's static, and the state of Florida owes her no more benefits or consideration toward her retirement.
Well, I'm glad you heard the show, because I know that was a big point of contention that was part of your campaign and saying this is something to look at, but that you recognize how that is, you know, a clear understanding of the way the DROP program works.
Oh, certainly, certainly. The present ad that Ms. Sanders is circulating, I think, is deceptive. We had a chance to use that. It doesn't clearly explain the DROP program. If anybody wants to go back and listen to the archive of your show or look into it further, they'll see that it isn't correct.
You know, and they can do that. Well, I'll give them that quick information because people may want to do that. They can go to my website, davidholland.com, and click on the radio section and go into the Real Money with David Holland, which is what we're doing right now. And there's an archive you can go to, listen to recent shows, and just click on the one that was from October 26th with Diane Matuzik, and all the information about Drop is right there.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Lisa's flashing me with the little 5-second thing, and I'm getting cold over here. She says I need to take a break, so we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We'll continue our conversation with Steve De La Roche. Steve has a website you can visit, delaroche-law.com, and his number is 947-0909. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back with Steve De La Roche, our first third-time guest. And his website is delaroche-law.com, 947-0909. Still practicing. I like that about attorneys. You're always practicing.
And someday I'll get it right.
You'll get it right. Well, so I guess the question that I want to ask before we... I'm curious, and I bet our listeners are, is, you know, you have been around politics for quite a while.
Yes.
And I think that's just a natural draw for attorneys, too.
It does seem to be, sure.
There's the joke, of course, that pretty much everybody is in Congress are attorneys, right?
Most of them are, yes. I wish it wasn't so, but...
Well, and we'll see how that plays out in the future. But so I guess it's a fair question to ask you, Steve. You know, you're going to continue to practice as a lawyer and have clients and work with them, and folks will probably be giving you a call after hearing the program. But... do you think you'll take another run at clerk of court? I don't know how many terms Diane Matuzik would like to have, but you know, you think you may take another run in the future?
Well, it's a 4-year term, and yes, the job still very much interests me. I think that I can improve it, even with what Ms. Matuzik has started to do. I think that it's essentially the center of the activity here in Volusia County. I know that people that don't have dealings with it every single day don't realize it, but as I said once before, all of our information is archived there. If you buy or sell property, if you are born or die, it involves the clerk's office. So, yes,
is that part of what attracts you to it? Is it's kind of like being real close to the fire? It's like the hub of all the activity?
Exactly. I find the office very attractive, and I probably will run in 4 years. So,
but in the meantime?
In the meantime, I'm practicing law.
Yeah.
I'm still doing a little bit of consulting with other political candidates.
Well, and that's an interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, you have a perspective because you've coached and worked with other candidates for elections.
Yes.
For different various positions. What do you make of, I mean, where we are right now with these elections? You could pick any of them you'd like to talk to, but what do you think just kind of overall about where things are?
In general, I don't like the trend of attacking your opponent because, as my grandmother always said, no one ever got smarter by calling someone else stupid. I think that in order to be a good candidate, you have to tell people what you see as the issues and how you're going to improve the issues. Proving that you are less onerous than the other person does not necessarily qualify you for the job. And I think one of the problems we have in this country with the gridlock in Congress is we're electing a lot of people that are very good.
Very partisan, though.
Yes, at attacking the other side, but not very good at working with other people and coming up with the solutions that affect this country. If you're going to, I hope everyone will vote. Vote for the person that you think can do the best job, not the person that has made their opponent look the worst. And I think that we'd all be better off.
Oh, I think that's 1,000% true. In fact, I'll take it even one more, kind of the same thing is when I vote, I don't look, I'm not concerned about the R or the D,
right.
Okay, or the I or the MPA or whatever. I want to know who that person is. I want to do my own research. If I don't know, well, then I need to, shame on me. Mm-hmm. You know, now the amendments, of course, are, they'll pull your hair out, but when it comes to candidates, you know, take the time to know who you're voting for. And that's, you know, one of the side benefits of this program and bringing in interesting candidates and guests who are involved with the political environment. I also, of course, gotten a pretty good education about some of these campaigns.
Right.
And, it's been interesting. And I think the other thing that, of course, it is very convenient to talk about, you know, how do we cut government? I mean, that seems to be the soup du jour.
Oh, sure, sure. Look at a candidate and find out if they've ever had to make a tough decision in their life. Because people that have always gone with the flow or had things handed to them probably are not designed to cut government, to make the hard decisions. Do we eliminate this program or that program? Particularly if the school amendment doesn't pass to increase school taxes, whoever's on that school board is going to have some tough choices. Do we close one or two schools? Do we thin them all out equally? Those are some very tough decisions, and the people that have made hard decisions in their life past, I think, are best qualified to make them in the future.
I think that's a good way to put it. In fact, I've said this to the various candidates coming on the show, and our listeners will recall this, as I've said, I don't know that I could do what you guys do, because it takes, I mean, with the negativity and some of the sheer stamina to do this. But then if somebody is elected, I think that, you know, the labor is worthy of their hire. I think people are, if they're elected a higher office, public office, which I think is a higher office, that they deserve everything they get from doing that.
Yes, I agree as well.
I see my time is out. Lisa's given me the high sign. I want to get back in here for our listeners. Steve Delaroche, delaroche-law.com. Continuing to practice and working in a lot of specialty areas, 947-090938-6 area code. Steve, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you for having me, David.
All right, it's a pleasure having you back, and maybe we'll have you be our first fourth-time guest, and you can come back and update us on what you're up to.
Two more and I'm an ace.
All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.